Good morning, everyone. It is, as Sergio said, really exciting to be with you this morning because you can sense there's something in the air, right? Do you sense it? I suspect it might have something to do with gifts. I'm not sure, but it might. There might be some of you sitting here this morning and you've already received gifts. Unfair. Then there's some of you sitting here and you are in anticipation because after the service or maybe after lunch, you are going to receive some gifts. Anyone like that? Yes. And then there's some others that have to endure a little bit more, and you're going to receive a gift tonight because that's your tradition, so a little bit of a Thanksgiving or a Christmas ceremony, handing out gifts. Anyone like that in the room, yeah? No one's receiving gifts. That's interesting. But there's some people that have to endure and persevere until tomorrow. Yeah. Good luck, guys. But Tammy did so well with a word of encouragement, right? For those of you who don't know, it was her first time. Can we give her a round of applause? So can I categorically say this morning that Christmas is about the greatest gift that has ever been offered to us. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Now it's interesting, speaking about gifts, there's basically two basic reactions. Now I'm generalizing a bit here, that happens when you receive gifts. And the first one that I wish upon everyone that's going to receive gifts is joy in abundance. I hope that's what you're going to experience when you open your gift. But there's also a second reaction, and it's a bit more difficult to explain. It might include a little bit disappointment or confusion. And maybe we can sum it up with the world, you are a bit troubled by what you received. And I don't wish that upon you. But before we dive into today's message, we're going to explore these reactions to the greatest gift ever today. But can we pray before we do that, if you don't mind? Father, this morning, it's really special to gather as fellow believers, as people that really love you, Lord, and it's extra special, Lord, because we're in a season where we celebrate your birth. And for that, I'm speechless, Lord. I don't have words to say thank you. Thank you for the gift of Christ. And thank you that this morning we can remember the day that you was born. Father, and I pray that as we open your word, Holy Spirit, that you will come and reveal even more to us. Even when we delve into things that's familiar and maybe we've heard it before, I pray, Holy Spirit, come and make it fresh this morning. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you, as we are going to read the word this morning, please turn in your Bibles and your Babels to Matthew 2. Matthew 2, as Tammy said, we've studied this the past few weeks, and maybe you think, we've read this already, but this stays the word of God. And no matter how many times we read it, the word of God is powerful, and I for one, trust that this morning, as we read this familiar passage, that something will stir in your spirit. And we're gonna start from verse 2, where the wise men asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews. Now, if I can interrupt me here for a moment, I want to challenge you, as we read this, try and identify the reactions of the people to the king that was going to be born. And you might find it here in verse 3. When Herod, the king, heard this, he was troubled. And not only him, but a whole city, all Jerusalem with him, was troubled. Interesting. Then we jump to verse 5. The chief priests and scribes told him, that's to the king, that the Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for this child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Side note, he was lying. Verse 9. After listening to the king, the wise men went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. But that wasn't all. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'm sure you could have identified the two reactions. It wasn't too difficult to find them. In verse 3, the first reaction was from Herod and the whole of Jerusalem. They were troubled. And then in verse 10, the second reaction, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. But again, that wasn't all. They fell down and worshipped him when they saw the child. Now, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, I wonder what your reaction is towards him. Might be that this morning you feel a bit troubled. And that can be because of various reasons. It might be because you were really brave and you faced them all. And you sit here and you're really troubled because do you know how chaos it is in the mall? And do you know how expensive everything is? And that's a valid reason to be a little bit troubled. It might be that you sit here and there's a little bit family tensions going on, some family politics, and you think to yourself, we're going to have a lovely family lunch. It's going to be awesome. And you are a little bit troubled. Or you might sit here and you think to yourself, Andre, you know, I've got the leg of lamb in the oven. You need to hurry up. Also a legitimate reason. I hope this morning there's some of us that can associate with the wise men who rejoiced exceedingly. And not only that, that they worshipped Jesus. If we continue in verse 11, the last sentence, we read, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And as Tammy said, for the past 2 weeks, we've explored this gift a little bit. So Simeon talked about the gold. Melinda talked about the frankincense. And today, we're going to pause a little bit at myrrh. Now, myrrh is interesting. If you go and read about it, there's quite a few uses for myrrh. But we're going to stand still at specifically one of those. And that specific use is where myrrh is used as a spice to embalm bodies for burial. And you can read in John 19 where Nicodemus used this spice to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. And from this comes the theme of today, where we say, from crib to cross, the costliest gift. You see, it's impossible to celebrate and think and remember the birth of Jesus without acknowledging the fact that he had to die for you and I. So even at the birth of Jesus, the gift of myrrh already foreshadowed the death of Jesus. And can I say this again? The greatest gift that we could ever receive was and is the beloved Son of God. And up to this day, the reaction to this most amazing gift stays the same. Some people are troubled by it, and some people rejoice and worship him. I want us to, for a moment, look at this from another perspective. And to be able to do that, I'm going to tell you a story. And this is especially for the kids in here today. The story is about little Stevie. And Stevie was about this old. And he loved boats. So Stevie was very creative. And he built his own little boat, complete with a little sail and everything. It was beautiful. And the amazing thing about this boat, it could actually drift or sail, as Stevie said. And what he really enjoyed was there, not too far from their home, there was a little stream. And what he loved to do is to take this little boat that he created, take it to the stream, put it in the water, and see how it drifts, how it sails down the stream. And little Stevie would jog alongside his little boat, getting a lot of joy at this amazing creation of his. He felt so proud. And then a bit further in the stream, the water got a little bit rougher. There was a little rapid forming. And then just before the rapid, he will take his boat out of the rapid. And he would do the same thing again. He loved to do this. And one day, as he was playing with his boat, the unthinkable happened. He put his boat in the water, and he smiled as it was beginning to sail, and he was jogging alongside it. And for a moment, Stevie wasn't looking where he was going. And the next moment, he stumbled over a rock, and he fell. And as he looked up, he saw there his boat is drifting, sailing, and it's almost at the rapid. And he got up as quickly as he could, and he ran and trying to catch up with his little boat. But as he was getting closer, the boat got into the rapid, and the last that Stevie saw of his creation was as it disappeared around the bend. Yes, shame. Stevie was really disappointed and sad about his boat. As he walked home, he got there, sat on a couch, and sometime passed, a week or two later, his mom went to the shops. It wasn't Christmas. And he joined her. And as they walked past a second-hand shop, you won't believe what was there in the window. Yes, Stevie's boat. And Stevie got so excited, he ran into the shop, to the shop owner, and he said, "Listen, that is my boat there in your window. Can I please have it back?" Unfortunately, this wasn't the friendliest shop owner there ever was. And he responded, "Well, I found it. Now it's mine. You're more than welcome to buy it back from me." And Stevie was again really disappointed and sad. But as he walked out of the store, he decided, "I will do whatever it takes to get my boat back." So when he got home, he started doing chores, washing the dishes, washing the cars, washing the dogs, washing the floor, washing whatever he could find. And then he started mowing the lawn. He did everything he could. And he received a little pocket money for that until he had enough money. And he went to his mom and he said, "Mom, can we please go back to that shop? I want to buy my boat back." And his mom took him to the shop. And as he entered the shop, he took the money in his hand. He put it there on the counter, saying to the store owner, "Can I please have my boat back now, please?" And the store owner went to get his boat for him. And as he gave the boat to Stevie, he took it in his hands, pressed it to his chest, and whispered the following, "You are now doubly mine. I made you, and I bought you." Now the story reminds me so much about the story of mankind. Or maybe I should rather say the history of mankind. How we were created in the image of God. And through our own choices, we got separated from God. We got lost from His presence. And there's been so many times when I thought to myself, I wonder how God felt when we got lost from His presence. And I think to say that God was troubled is very much an understatement. In human terms, I think God was grieving. I think God was in anguish. But I also think that almost at that moment, God said, "I will do anything to get my creation back." And from that, we read the most familiar and famous scripture in the Bible, which we all know, John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." There was a price to be paid for you and me, because we were separated from God because of our sin. And Jesus paid that price. And the price was death. Jesus died for our sins. And it's amazing then when we read Luke 19:10. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." You see, up to this day, God is still prepared to do everything to get His creation back. And He's constantly looking, seeking for those who've been lost from His presence, wanting to save them. And in Luke 15 verse 7, I love this interpretation of what happens when God finds one lost soul. It says the following, "There will be a glorious celebration in heaven over the rescue of one lost sinner who repents, who comes back home. In a moment, the anguish, the grieving is changed into a glorious celebration. Earlier I said the following. The greatest gift that we could ever receive was and is the only beloved Son of God. And maybe this morning, John 1:12 is going to make a bit more sense to you. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. My question this morning, as we talk about gifts, as we talk about Christmas, as we talk about the most costly gift ever, is the following. Have you received the gift of Christ? To receive means to I accept Jesus by faith. It means that I believe that the message of Christmas and the message of the cross is not just some random stories, but it's personal and intentional and applicable to you and I. To receive means I believe that the price was paid, that Jesus died in my place so that I can have life. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. It's not something that you and I deserve. We can do nothing to receive this gift. We can just accept it. It's like hanging over a cliff, hanging on for dear life, knowing that if you let go, I'm going to die. And you shouting out for someone to help you, acknowledging that I cannot save myself. I need someone to rescue me. When someone offers you a gift, you have to receive it, right? Otherwise, it will never be yours. And this morning, maybe, you are hanging over a cliff and you realize, I need help. And it's so beautiful. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Psalm 50, verse 15 echoes that. It says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The gift of Jesus is for those of us who are in trouble, who is hanging over a cliff, realizing I need saving. And you're calling out to the name of the Lord, and the Lord saves you. And in a moment, the trouble you were in is changed into a glorious thanksgiving and worship. And maybe this morning, if you were one of those for who the gift of Jesus was troubling, if you thought about Christmas, it was troubling. I trust that today your trouble will be changed and transformed into rejoicing and worshiping the greatest gift ever. So as we close, I want to say that my hope And my prayer for all of us is that we will associate with the wise men. May our response as we celebrate the birth of Jesus not only be rejoicing, but may it be worship. As we remember the most costly gift ever offered to us. I cannot let this moment pass without giving you an opportunity to receive this gift. And maybe you've been coming to church for many years. Maybe you're here every Sunday. Maybe, just maybe, you haven't received the gift yet. Maybe you sit here this morning and you realize, I was a church person, but I haven't received the gift and made it mine. I want to repeat that when a gift is offered to you, you have to receive it. So this morning, I want to pray with everyone that sit here and you say, I want to receive the gift of Christmas. I want to receive the most costly gift ever offered. Because I was made and I was bought. I truly belong to Him. If I receive that gift, can we pray? Lord, I don't really have words. I just feel so overwhelmed, Lord. Just thinking again that the most costly gift is also offered to me, Lord. And I remember, Lord, that the greatest moment in my life was that moment where I received that gift. And as John 1:12 says, Lord, I became a child of God. Lord, in this morning, I want to pray for every one of us, every person sitting here, who might not yet have received that gift. I pray, Lord, that whoever that person is, they will not let that moment pass. I pray, Lord, that they will now, at this moment, experience how everything around them just disappears. Lord, and how they can see you before them, standing before them. Calling out their name, saying, I made you, I bought you, I paid the price. Will you receive this gift? And this morning, if you want to receive that gift, just as a symbol of receiving it, everyone's eyes are closed. Just put up your hand and say, yes, Lord, this morning I want to receive the greatest gift that was ever offered to mankind. If that's you, just put your hands in the air and say, yes, Lord, here I am. No one's looking at you. It's between you and God. It's between you and your Creator. It's between you and Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that this day is for many of us never going to be the same again, Lord. As we celebrate Christmas, Lord, it's great giving gifts to each other. But Lord, it's only a symbol of the greatest gift ever. Lord, in human terms, we won't ever be able to thank you enough. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to try and deserve it. You offer to us freely. By faith, we receive it. Lord, I trust you that now in this moment, many people's trouble is transformed into rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. We glorify you. Lord, we rejoice in this moment, Lord, because as it says in Luke, when one lost soul returns back home, there's a rejoicing in heaven. So now we rejoice together with everyone receiving that gift, coming home. And we choose to honor you, to worship you, and to live for you as we continue to celebrate Christmas. In Jesus' name.